What's happening, everybody? We're back. Week 5's in the books, well, nearly. And it's the QB List podcast here. It's Brian, it's Nick, and it's Mario here to break down the fight, Week 5 madness, and, of course, talk about those waiver wires for Week 6. How you fellas doing today?
Brian, I'm doing well. I'm holding back tears right now. I'll save it till we get to the injury roundup, but it was a tough weekend, I think, for a lot of
you're crying for the wrong reason here. Nick, how about you?
I'm doing great, man. I had this whole thought in my head coming into this that I just adopted a puppy yesterday. Nice. And I wanted him to do the Mario entrance and kind of raise him up onto the screen here. And as I watched you do it, I was like, man, I completely whiffed on that opportunity. But yeah, doing great overall. Happy to be back. Good to see you guys.
Could have gone full Simba, you know, just lifting him up there.
We'd have to change the intro theme song for that, but I'm open to it.
Nice.
We could get the rights.
Nice.
Sure.
We'll get. Oh, absolutely. Disney's just dropping stuff left. They share all the time. True. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
We're here to break down some, of course, some injuries, the booms, the busts, waiver wire, and maybe some buy and sell. Because look, it's trade season. You smell that? Yeah, we've got trades sitting out there, and if not, we need to make sure we have some out there because I've got some rosters that need a little churning. So, without further ado, let's hop into the injury roundup here. I guess we'll start with the lightest one, the easiest one, the Brock Bowers news. What are we doing here? Like, I guess, is it Chip Kelly? Is it Brock Bowers' knee? Are we just waiting for the full health back? Like, I mean, we had Albert O out there this week, people. This was not great.
That is not great. And it's easy to blame Chip Kelly, especially as an Eagles fan. It's really easy for me to blame Chip Kelly for a lot of things. But I have to think they're just taking it really precautionary with him. Second-year player, looked like an absolute star his rookie year. And they're really trying to build something there in Las Vegas, believe it or not, despite how they've looked these few weeks. So I think they're just being cautious, but obviously it's not great for us.
Spencer Schrader, number one kicker in fantasy football. You guys take it away. I know it's my team, but why don't y'all take it away here?
Yeah, I just put it in here for Mario. So I put it on the tee. Mario, let's go.
I'm holding back tears. I mean, this was an emotional one for me. I gave a special shout out to him in the waiver article that is dropped by the time you're listening to this, because he was on there every single week because the people, he finally would have not been on there. He finally was rostered in about 76% of leagues. It was beautiful, but our kicker king is off to kicker heaven right now. Hopefully he comes back stronger than ever. And again, Brian, like, he was your kicker. You saw how reliable he was. I mean, I got to pull up the stats now. I think he missed 2 kicks all year.
It's a wild injury.
I don't know.
ACL and MCL for a kicker. On his
that's leg. Nasty.
It's like the worst injury that we've had to go through so far this season.
And if we're being frank, I had the emotion of, oh my gosh, we just lost our kicker. You know, we're doing good. Nothing like having a good kicker. You know, we've seen the woes of a lot of teams that have a bad one. And instantly, the thought goes to my head of the video I saw this weekend of Justin Tucker practicing kicks. We're going to sign Justin Tucker, aren't we?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you are. That's the biggest fear, I think, of this whole situation.
Oh, instead, he could have had a guy who was 13 of 14 in field goals, by the way. Like, he kicked the most. I'm getting emotional again. I got to stop. We'll get to kicker replacements later in the show, because obviously that was a big hole in your lineups.
Bucky Irving's down, of course. It was, we saw him in a walking boot, but like the shoulder was the big item that we were being talked about. Kind of an emotional response you saw from him on Instagram this weekend. We got a little bit more information. It might be a couple of weeks. Nick, what's your thoughts here on Bucky as we dive through this?
Yeah, there's not too much we can really sift through it this time. It's kind of a wait and see. They played it really close to the chest last week, even though I think we all knew he wasn't going to play. It's being in a walking boot all week, but you kind of have to wait and see, but Rashad White pretty much took over that entire backfield. We didn't really see much from Sean Tucker at all, despite what a lot of dynasty people were hoping for. But yeah, there's not too much you can do. Kind of hold out hope, and multiple injuries, different locations, not ideal, of course, and hopefully you can come back healthy.
Yeah, you hope so. Another guy we're all hoping, everybody's hoping, can come back healthy.
Yeah, sad.
Just before we started recording, we got the breaking news. Omarion Hampton headed to IR, a minimum of 4 weeks. He will be out. This team is just getting decimated. They've lost two, like, studly tackles. They're just getting tore apart left and right. It's not good for the Chargers. I think the biggest fear here Are we going to get Gus Edwards in Los Angeles again?
Return of the King.
Probably is what's going to happen.
God, no. Honestly.
You know who they could use?
Ken freaking Walker. No, Ken Walker, because clearly Clint Kubiak absolutely hates this guy. I don't want to jump into the studs and duds because he doesn't get to hit either. Like, oh my God, I'll save it. But yes, I mean, we got Breece Hall potentially that could get traded. Like, Alvin Kamara isn't getting the usage. There's, I don't know. Obviously, the Chargers are going to add somebody because we can't go out there with Kamani Vidal as the lead guy, can we?
I don't think he should be the lead guy on that team. Yeah.
We'll probably talk about another name.
Yeah, there'll be some names talked about here in waivers. But, folks, it hurts. It hurts. We saw Najee get out of the way. We thought we saw league-winning opportunity right there. And won't be for a few more weeks.
Nope.
Let's talk some booms. Let's talk about the guys we're excited about. Let's talk about the bombs that were dropped on our fantasy teams. Start us off with some quarterbacks. Who's got the first one for us? Or who was their first quarterback that?
I will talk about Stroud boys, because we're rising up. We kind of talked about it in a sit start last week. We said, you know, we're starting to perk up in their seats, but this one was a full-blown. I mean, the Texans had some rage inside of them that they wanted to take out on these Ravens, and Stroud delivered, only had 4 incompletions on the day, 23 of 27, 244 yards, 4 passing touchdowns. Like, I mean, they lit it up. This is the Stroud that you wanted to see.
Sam Darnold went out there and crushed it as well, 341 yards, 4 touchdowns. Him and Baker put on a show for us. That was a great game.
That was
absolutely a great game. But Sam Darnold is looking like definitely the better Baker.
It's like literally the same career arc and everything, like same story come into fruition. So it was kind of awesome to see them go head to head in that. And I think everyone ruled out Sam Darnold coming into this year. So
Seattle made the right move, clearly, as far as letting Geno go and signing Sam Darnold. Nick, what quarterback stuck out for you?
I was going to say, weirdly, Kevin O'Connell kind of looks like he maybe made the wrong choice in the short term. We'll see. But, Dak again. I think Stafford was someone who's – he ended up as the QB6, but his play just continues to be impressive. You know, barely practiced coming into the season, but that duo of Puka and Davante Adams are just beastly. And then Tutu's showing up at these random spots for like 70-yard catches every week too. But that throw, we don't really see Stafford do that kind of like spin move, go across his body to the other side and hit Tutu in the corner there was incredible. So super exciting. But I'll say Mac Jones, honestly.
Yeah.
Least amount of weapons. He was down to wide receivers like 5 and 6 with
besmirching Tungerson Bourne over there. Jeez.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne.
DeMarcus Robinson, like kind of this patchwork team coming together. Also, if you watch that game, he was getting beat up. And there was a point where he was coming off the field looking like he was just going to vomit and throw like ribs up out of his body. And it was just like, he's not even going to be able to walk again after this.
Look,
and
he's
on the field.
I don't want to take anything away from the guy. He might have been hurting. And I don't doubt that he felt some pain. He comes off very dramatic to me. Like everything he does between the press conferences and then just out there on the field. It's a show. He's putting on a show, so I'm not complaining.
He's definitely taking some hits, but I know what you mean. It looks worse for him than everybody else.
The like visceral, like the way he was. I thought he was throwing up. It looked like
I thought he had like a lacerated kidney or something.
I thought one of the Space Jam characters was coming out of his mouth.
But then I was like, this is San Francisco. If there's any team that a player could on the field throw up a rib, it would be San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I believed it.
I'd like to point out, too, my boy Anthony Richardson, 100% completion percentage on the day. Granted, he caught the lone ball that he threw, but 100% completion percentage, first time in his career. Definitely the last time. Maybe the last time he's over 80%, but just got to give 50%. Him his dues here.
Yep.
Let's talk some running backs here because we had it was backup city this week, and we had some guys do some damage.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle. Our boy, casual 235 yards. Pretty impressive. Miami apparently can't stop anybody. But
dude, the tackles he was breaking, man. It was so good.
Yeah, good for him kind of getting allowed to walk from Dallas this past year. And 1 year, $3 million, like really not any commitment to him at all. So he got given an opportunity and he ran with it for sure. So good to see it.
Yeah, this Dolphins defense is like elite as far as the, like on the terrible scale. Like it's so bad where these metrics are lying.
It's a target for sure.
Yeah, 31st in points per drive, 34th in scoring rate per drive, 30th, 32nd, 29th, 31st. It's bad. It's so bad for Miami. So starts of the week, that's where it starts. Mario, what running back impressed you this week?
Yeah, we'll just keep up with this backup train. I mean, Rashard White, he's someone that's kind of always been more of a 1B versus a true backup, but we always kind of talked about it. These 1Bs really shine when their 1A is gone. We've seen it with Charbonnet when Walker is gone. Right now, they're truly in a split, but right here, you saw Bucky Irving. He's missing time with a shoulder. We don't know how long he's going to miss, but Rashard White slotted in incredibly, running back 7 at the moment. He had 41 rushing yards, which isn't too impressive, but had the 2 touchdowns, and that's what we play for.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, I was hesitant playing him this week. I thought it was going to be a three-way timeshare. I thought this was just going to be a headache. Yeah. But this was his week. 70% backfield carry share, 57% weighted opportunities, only carry inside the 5, and 31 fantasy points. This guy absolutely crushed it out there.
Yeah, I want to throw out Kyren, too. We've kind of been hyping up Blake Corum the past few weeks, but fumble pretty early in the game, pretty ugly fumble. And Kyren had some fumbles too, yep. But really impressive in the receiving game. He was a beast in that game, and he also fumbled at the 1 yard line. So he ended up as RB5, and he could have had another touchdown on top of that too. But great game, some really bad plays in between there. But when the game came down to it and was on the line, he was the only person touching the ball. So I think you still got your bell cow guy for a little bit more.
Caveat, folks, join me here real quick. Fellas, would you say that Sean McVay is a better coach than Kyle Shanahan?
One of them has a Super Bowl.
This is true.
One of them has like 4 plays away from 4 Super Bowls.
that's what overall, I feel like plays. I would say McVay is the better coach. Because, you know, he has pulled it off. He's got the dub as far as the chip goes. But, like, we heard it during the broadcast. Shanahan has McVay's number. Like, it is crazy how many more times he's beat him than McVay does. So it's just one of those, like, kind of like, all right, this is just your kryptonite. Kind of like a Lamar, Patty Mahomes situation with that. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning kind of a thing. It's just like he has his number. But end of the day, I think I want, like, if I get to pick my coach, I'm picking Sean McVay over Shanahan.
I feel like that's what the general public will say, and that's kind of what the feeling towards it is. But really, they had no business losing that game coming into it.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm sure that ruined 100%. A fair amount of survivor pools as well.
Oh, yeah. Hotter take, maybe. The best 2 coaches in the league were playing in London this week. Yeah. 3 and 4 were in the Thursday night game. I think Stefanski is almost as good as KFC. I think he has been just... Like
he's dealt a bad hand.
Yeah, exactly. He's had the Deshaun Watson curse strapped to him. He should have been fired a long time ago just because of how bad this team. But like, he's won Coach of the Year once, twice. Like, I think he's
a great coach. Won Coach of the Year.
I think he's a great coach. Montgomery got to give him his due as well. Not only ran in the touchdown, but threw one as well. He looked great out there. He was playing for some family. Heartwarming story to watch the guy go out there and crush.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to, one more thing about Kyren is because you talked about how his hands looked incredible. He had 10 targets, and right now that leads all running backs in targets, even more than CMC, who to me is more wide That's receiver, crazy. Especially in that game. So, and I'm just looking at the rest of Kyren's game logs this season. Before this, his high was 4. Like, he basically matched his season in just this one game. So,
yeah,
really exciting
throw.
Stuff.
Yeah, they don't usually throw to the running back.
Yeah, they found a mismatch in that linebackers, and they just kept targeting him late in the game, and he kept just chugging away 7-8 yards at a time.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Breece Hall comes in at 12. J.K. Dobbins, again, consistent at 13. Ramondre Stevenson, I don't even want to open that can of worm. Ashton Jeanty found his way through the air to fall in at 16. Quinchon Judkins, again, at 18. Should have been a top 12 back. Had a, what was it, 56-yard touchdown called back. Quinchon Judkins is for real, folks.
Yeah. Would you take him over Kenneth Walker?
Yeah. I've had so much fun like leaning into Ken Walker this year, but 100%, he is getting the workload that Ken Walker deserves.
2 weeks ago on this podcast, I took Quinchon and you both went Kenneth Walker. So
you're right.
You guys coming
okay,
in.
Okay, look,
here.
If Clint Kubiak,
you have to adjust for sure.
If Clint Kubiak called the game correctly.
Yeah.
He would be okay, just something for you.
Sharp in the games keeps ruining it for him.
In the games that Walker and Charbonnet play together, Walker's at 5.6 yards per carry. Charbonnet's at 2.7. 48% of the backfield carries go to Charbonnet. 52% go to Walker. Eight carries inside the 10 for Charbonnet, 3 for Walker. 2 of which were this week, so that's awesome. But, like, it is ridiculous. Look, all you saw this week was Walker carving up the defense. Big run. Hey, get on the bench. Charbonnet's got to get your touchdown. Come on. Like, ridiculous. What did he do to Clint Kubiak?
His hands look good, too. You know, coming out of college, it was a hit on him that he couldn't catch, but he's just gotten better every year, and it's crazy how much better he is than Zach Charbonnet. But Charbonnet's getting the goal line work, and Quinshon's just a bell cow. He's not going off the field.
Ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, we got to talk about Ibuka. Number one wide receiver going into the Monday night game, 163 yards, 7 for 7 as far as receptions. And the dude just touchdown, inevitable. 5 for 5 this year.
Yeah,
5 for 5 is crazy. Yeah, I mean, caught all 7 of his targets. Like, that's something I'm just looking at these top other wide receivers. Nobody has this perfect catch rate. I have to go all the way down to Xavier Hutchinson, who caught 3 of his 3 targets. But everybody else at least had one incompletion, one drop here or there. 7 for 7 from Ibuka. Yeah, he had the octopus as well. He had the touchdown and the 2-point conversion.
Yes.
I hate that term. It's so dumb.
It's ridiculous. It is kind of crazy. Like, I forget exactly where he landed. It was like pick 21 to 23, somewhere in that range. And the knock on him coming in was that his floor was very high, but his ceiling just wasn't the same as like Malik Nabers or something like that. And it was almost like people were just scared of having a really good player. And he, from the moment he stepped on the field, he's been that dude. So
we also
got a steal. And we also thought it was a bad pick when they took him too, because we're like, you got Evans, you just signed Godwin again. Thing. Like, why are you kind of
the breakout last year with McLaurin?
McMillan.
McMillan, no, there you go.
Not Tet McMillan.
Jalen McMillan.
Jalen McMillan,
yeah. But yeah, it was like, you don't need a receiver. You got torn apart by everybody last year in your secondary. Like, you have way bigger needs than this, but you can't hate on the pick. Yep, they made the right choice, and he's a number one, and he will be for the next 8 to 10 years, you know. So he's awesome to watch.
Who you have for us, Mario? Give me a wide receiver.
Here's one, Jamar Chase. I mean, obviously, this is the name we expect to be at the top, but I will just say, like, I was getting to the point where it's like, have you seen Jake Browning throw the football? Like, I was getting ready to fade Jamar Chase. It's been kind of a bummer watching this Bengals offense, but Jamar Chase was just like, listen, like, I don't care what's going on, force feed me targets and things will happen, and that's what happened. He got 10 targets, brought in 6 of them, 110 yards, the 2 touchdowns. He looked, it was a vintage performance. It's malpractice.
Jake Browning, you talking about Russ Belt Winston? Yeah, that's who he is. That's all he is. Just throws it. Throws it. Has no regard for what he's doing. Interception, touchdown, he doesn't care.
Yeah. I'm going to leave the second name on here for Brian, but I'm going to highlight my new boy, Stephon Diggs, as a Patriots fan. Wide receiver 7 coming into the Monday night game. Last night, if you watched that game, was awesome as a Patriots fan. It's been a rough few years, and winning against Buffalo is huge. Kind of winning on a last minute game winning drive coming down to the end. It just looked like one of those games where it's like, we're going to keep it close till the end of the third, and then Buffalo's just going to steamroll us and score right when they need to at the end. And Diggs was a huge part of that. Big play after big play, downfield, short yardage. Making dudes miss, like, did not look like someone who's coming off an ACL tear. He looked really good, hyper targeted as well. So,
hey, he's got a baby on the way. He needs some money.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Have you ever seen the? It's when he was on the Bills and they're interviewing a bunch of the other players in the locker room, and they're like, "Who on this team would you not let your sister?"
Oh, that was Minnesota. That was back when he was on Minnesota. Yeah. So that tells you how bad it was that early in his career.
It was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they all say Diggs, and then the reporter goes to him and he's like, "They all said you." And he's like, "What, me?" Like,
why not me?
No idea, no self-awareness. But anyway, go for it, Brian.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle, man, I'm pumped here. It's 9 targets per game since Tyreek has left, 126 yards per game and 28.6 fantasy points. Jalen Waddle, it's here, man. I mean, he's going to have to fight off Darren Waller because Darren Waller is here as well. But still, let's get it. Mario, let's what you got it. For us?
I got one. This one a little bit deeper. He's wide receiver 12. But I have to give some credit to Calvin Ridley, who finally had his breakout game. We'll call it that. 10 targets, which is kind of in line with his usual. But he caught 5 of them, which is huge for him. He caught half of his targets for 131 yards. So they really had a connection, him and Cam Ward. So really like to see that going forward. If he held on this long, I think this is a sign of good things to come.
Cam Ward's fun to watch in the 2-minute drill. Like, if you want to see the guy shine and see where he can do well, it's when he's forced to throw it and got to throw it deep.
Yeah, they just usually don't have a competitive 2-minute drill is the problem. So normally it's like 2-minute drill. It's like, oh, we're down 50. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, not good. Any other wide receivers you guys want to throw up before we head to, I mean, I guess tight ends, it's Ferguson, it's Waller.
Yep.
Yeah.
Both did good.
Both did good. Theo Johnson pulled in 2 touchdowns as well.
Yeah, Theo, big game. Waller, just kind of funny because Brian and I recorded this last week, like as the Miami game was starting, and that did not age well at all.
Hey, I brought him up for a reason. I brought him up. I was like, look, it might be painful. You might not like it. But hey.
And then like an hour later, we're texting each other like, oh, this is not going great.
Hey, I picked him up everywhere. It's nice. I'm liking it. Theo Johnson as well. It looks like he might be fighting. I mean, he's tied for the number one target share in that offense right now. Jackson Dart, he's got some lumps coming. 2 of the next 3 weeks are against the Eagles and Denver in that sandwich. So it could be kind of ugly. He might do well enough with the rushing, but we'll talk about that in the waivers. Theo Johnson, though, name to know. May or may not have been in the streaming article. I don't know. You can check out, folks. I think it's on QBList.com is where the kids are going. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one.
Time for some busts. Take it away, guys. Give me a quarterback.
That's what you line us up with.
Yeah, seriously. So this one, maybe Nick could talk more about this player, but we talk about Diggs and the booms, right? So I got to imagine his quarterback, who's been looking electric these last couple of weeks, he probably popped off if the wide receiver popped off, right? No, Drake May looked pretty bad. Uncharacteristic game for him. He's someone I've kind of been fading, but has been proving me wrong. But currently quarterback 23 before Monday Night Football, so that's probably going to go down. We just didn't see his rushing upside, I think, was the biggest. We saw a little bit of the scrambling, but just not enough. This was an ugly game. Nobody could hold on to the ball on either side, so it's not a lot of action from him.
Yeah, 3 of 4 games, he's got 12 or less yards. That's I was hoping for a little bit more there, Drake, but he's also got 3 top 7 finishes, so I'm not too upset.
Yeah, and again, doing it with, you know, Diggs is his best receiver. He was probably like in the 40s coming off the board coming into this season. So the expectations have been pretty low. He's kind of got a ragtag group of people. He's got a ragtag offensive line. Also, Ramondre Stevenson took both touchdowns within inside the 5-yard line. So those could have turned into could have been a lot better performance for fantasy, but he didn't play terrible, and Buffalo's got probably a top 5 defense, so, and you're on the road, so that's kind of what comes with the territory.
100%. Geno Smith leading the league with 9 interceptions, kind of touched on this with the Sam Darnold, but it's not looking great. 228 yards, 2 picks against Indy. He's got Tennessee next, Kansas City, and then a bye. Jacksonville's been playing good defense after that, then Denver. I think we might be wiping him off the streamer board, and then I don't know if I want anything outside of Jenty and then a healthy Bowers, because Jacoby Myers, last 3 games, it's not great.
No, this whole Raiders offense has been a bummer. I got one more quarterback I want to talk about if we should move on from Kyler Murray, who's currently quarterback 19 on the week. His best finish, he's had 3 finishes of 16, so you could argue he's consistent, but I feel like where this guy was drafted, it was going to be a top 6-5 quarterback, you know, with a rushing upside. We thought it was here. I just feel like he's taking a step backwards. So are we ready to move on from Kyler Murray, or what are we doing?
Well, fortunately for him, he's not very tall, so a step back isn't very far from where he was at. So he is only at QB 20 on the week. He's usually at 16. So, you know,
Brian,
you get about Brian what you
had
expected.
Like 3 sneezes while you were going on mute, and then just like turned it back on and just fired that off.
Oh, I was ready.
He was multitasking over there. In 1 QB leagues, you can stash him, but he's just not giving you the rushing upside. He's nowhere near that QB1 that he was kind of for that year and a half, probably 4 or 5 years ago, where he was just like an absolute machine. But
and Call of Duty's coming out in a few weeks, so, I mean, that window's closing quickly.
Oh, no.
Show.
Running backs, let's talk some D Mercado because everybody was split this week. Is it Michael Carter? Is it D Mercado? Which way do we go? And honestly, D Mercado, if he wouldn't have made
right there,
if he wouldn't have AD Mitchell'd, he probably would have saved his day. Yeah. We definitely realized that Carter was taking the bulk share of it, but D Mercado, man, fumbling end of the end zone, losing out on a 76-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I forget exactly. Yeah, at least 60.
Eight, and the game. Yeah, which is absolutely embarrassing. I mean, that play alone, it's like an 8-point swing, right? Because the fumble and then you lose the touchdown. So you could have had at minimum 14-ish points. Plus, you have to think they go back to him afterwards because, you know, just running out the clock, et cetera. So absolutely hate to see it.
I don't know who hurt themselves more this week, Di Mercado or Mark Sanchez. Both of them cut themselves pretty deep.
Oh, damn.
Coming in Positive. Higher this week.
Too much, yeah. What are the running back fades we got this week?
Yeah, so someone who I was singing from the heavens to pick up for the waivers, my number one target was Woody Marks. We're thinking about this game. We know it's going to be a points fiesta. And don't worry, like the Texans scored points, and they had a running back find the end zone. But it was Nick Chubb. It was the ghost of Nick Chubb came back. Woody Marks, what a huge step back from his involvement in the offense. Snaps, everything went down across the board. I don't know what happened, but you just can't predict something like this. I think he's currently running back 45 on the week, and he'll probably finish in the 50s by the time this is done.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Marks later, but both these guys, this was a blowout. It's just kind of a weird game. They have not been in this game script at all this season, so... It's somebody that I still am happy to target if people, but we'll do that later.
For sure.
Yeah, Ned.
Henderson as well. I mean, it's more, I'm disappointed, not in Henderson, but in the coaching. It's all the coaches. It's Mike Vrabel. He just has a thing for wanting to annoy
Stevenson.
The bejeebus. It's not cool.
I think it's kind of like Bowers is how I've been looking at it. It's like they're not contenders this year. This is a dude that they spend high second round capital on, and this is their future. Not necessarily this year.
And they're paying Stevenson a lot of money. So maybe they're playing for that first overall pick and they need Stevenson to get to it. You know, because they're a pretty good team. That's what I mean. They're
down the Bills.
They're a pretty good team, but they need Stevenson to cut themselves down. They're bad at doing that. They want a top 10 pick.
They put Stevenson in because they're like praying for a fumble.
Yeah. Like, come on, God, go do your thing.
That happens. Also,
I love Stevenson too.
Antonio Gibson tore his ACL as well. So, like, now there's only one other guy that can start ahead of Henderson. Like, there's just one more guy.
Yeah, Henderson may be somebody we talk about later as well. But
wide receivers, A.J. Brown, disappointing as usual. This one was kind of understandable, too, just because he did play Patrick Surtain. That one was kind of, like, even if the offense was humming for the Eagles, we kind of knew that was going to happen. But just incredibly upsetting for A.J. and Q.J.
What's interesting, you say upsetting, this was his second best game on the season for A.J. Brown. So if any, like, just based on the numbers, you'd be ecstatic, right? 6.8, like, that's the second best finish, which is just crazy to say on its own. But, yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. It was the shadow treatment. I think especially we kind of saw the squeaky wheel getting some oil this week. I think he'll be in line for a much better week coming up Thursday night at the Giants.
Hey, Mario, earmuffs. Hey, Nick, what if I told you that the Eagles only 47% of their drives have failed to gain at least one first down? It's the highest rate in the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they've got like 100 yards combined in the second half over the last 2 weeks. Has been
their last rough. In rate of plays of 10-plus yards or more. Like, this offense is horrible.
It's kind of like what we talked about Baltimore last week, where it's like they don't really have a reason. This is a completely returning cast. This isn't a bunch of new people coming in, so they don't really have that reason. And yes, Kellen Moore is gone, new offensive coordinator, but it's Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, the number one offensive line, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, even Goddard, who we like to, like, you know, poo-poo a little bit here and there. Like, he's still a good player, and he was a second round pick in his year, and he's getting a little older. But like, this is a Super Bowl caliber and winning team. Like, there's not really too much of a reason for this. So it is a little weird to see, but yeah, Patrick Surtain treatment. Devontae Smith had a really good game, and that's kind of the product of AJ Brown being shadowed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last week we got JMO on here. He's been bad every week, but one. Mario, what do we do here? Like, is he droppable in a 10-team league?
I love fading Jameson Williams. It comes up every start sit. If you're the kind of guy that drafts him, like, this is what you're expecting, right? Like, he's going to have his booms. He's going to have his busts. This year, he's just having more busts than booms. If you believe in this boom bust, you know, coin flip kind of player, you ride with him. But if it's me personally, I get off this ride. I'm over it. I'll put out a couple feelers. I'll sell them for dimes on the dollar. But otherwise, yeah, I would drop him.
Yeah, I love JMO, but it's rough. I wouldn't drop him in 12 team, but 10 team, maybe you're at that point. I did try to use him a few weeks back. I had him and Jordan Mason and moved him up for Drake London when he was down there. And I'm feeling pretty happy about that. But I think we're going to see those games from JMO soon. It's week five. This stuff changes very quickly and momentum shifts. So I think we're going to still see a few blow up games. But like you said, it's a coin flip. You're going to get 2 points or. And the team is putting up record high numbers, so you kind of want to see a little bit more, but it's everybody around him.
It's unfortunate. It's kind of a hard thing when you draft that many players that high in ADP. You know not all of them are going to return, so someone's going to disappoint. And it's been – I mean, Laporta did pretty good. I mean, he did good this game, and he's done pretty decent this season. But, yeah, it's been all JMO as far as the disappointment. Hawkinson, McBride, both disappointed just as far as the tight ends go. McBride's the first time he didn't go double digits this season. I'm not too worried. He's going to get his. Hawkinson, though. Oliver has scored touchdowns in two of the last 3 weeks. Like, I don't know what's that going on.
I hate that.
Yeah, I hate it.
I mean, but Hawkinson's getting involved. I mean, I'm looking. He had 6 targets. He caught them all. Last week he had 5 targets. The week before, 6 targets. Like, I feel like that's kind of in line for what he's getting. He's just not finding the end zone, and he's getting all these baby yards, 36 or 39, 38.
Yeah, he's had an 18% target share this season. He's only scored double digits just once. So in games that Addison's played, I believe, I was looking for that stat, but his numbers when Addison's in the game are just horrible, horrible. Let's get to some waiver wires because we've got some holes to patch. We've got some things to fix. We have bye weeks. I guess, did we talk about the bye weeks? We've got Texans and Vikings out this week for the bye week, so you have to worry about Hawkinson. You know, you can drop him if you need. I don't care.
Woody Marks can't hurt you this week.
Running backs. Yes, let's talk some running backs here. As far as pickups, Michael Carter is definitely right there at the top of my list. If he wasn't picked up, if, you know, for whatever reason, he's definitely an ad for me because Trey Benson's supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks. What would that be? 3 to 5 at this point.
And DeMercado did not do much to keep himself in favor of this coaching staff. He's still a much better receiver, so I think he's still going to have a role. But Carter's going to be the early down dude and more goal line carries for sure. We saw this last year, too. I know Brian and I are in a few leagues together, and we both were just, like, shooting for Carter, like, fighting each other for which league was going to go first.
Freaking Bam Knight, too, stealing the goal line.
Yeah, and then Bam Knight getting that one. That could be Carter, too, so...
Why?
Yeah, he's the number one guy for sure.
Who else are we looking at?
One thing I'll say is, so we're still waiting to hear more about the Chuba Hubbard kind of injury situation, but obviously we talked about Rico Dowdle, put up 235 yards. So I think he is, even if Chuba comes back and is healthy this week, I would be shocked if it's not some kind of split. Talked about it earlier with the Bucky Irving, Rashard White 1A, 1B situation. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes to that. And they're playing Dallas this week. So revenge game. We saw what Diggs did in a revenge game. So I like this.
Yeah, we were talking about him coming into this week before the Chuba Hubbard, just as a handcuff to own. We were seeing his usage go up. So I agree completely. Even if we get Chuba back, let's give me Dowdle. It's like 35% of leagues he's still available. Go get him, folks. Go get him.
A ton of leagues.
That's crazy.
It's craziness. I mean, what are we doing about Omarion Hampton here?
Yeah, I feel like that's a big one. So we kind of talked a little bit. Maybe we're like teasing Vidal a little bit. But I'm looking a little bit more at Hassan Haskins. Something that kind of stood out to me in this game. This may be nothing. There may be everything. But at the end of the game, when the backups were in for the Chargers, when it was out of reach, Trey Lance was on the field. The rest of the backups were in. Vidal was in. So to me, that tells me Vidal is on the Trey Lance tier of this offense, and Haskins is the starter going forward. Now, obviously, we could see them maybe potentially sign somebody. It wouldn't surprise me. We joked Gus Edwards. But right now, if I had to choose one of these two guys, I would look towards Haskins as a potential starter for this offense.
How do I say this nicely? Haskins is booty. Like, we've seen this guy before.
Booty's on New England. You're mixing it up. Yeah. He catches the ball.
I guess you've got to pick up one of these.
They're both going to be ugly. I would be surprised if they don't try to make a move.
I really think they have to add someone just as far as depth. But, like, yeah. I don't know. I guess, obviously you're going to pick up one and or both, try to pick up something of this. Mm-hmm. How much fab are you dumping? Like, is this more of a 10 to 20% fab, or are you going to be aggressive, like a 50-pluser?
I would not do a 50-plusser.
No, I'm on the lower half.
Way too many question marks.
Yeah, I'm like 10 to 20 is what I'd be willing to spend.
I like the 12 to 15. I like the little kind of sprinkle there. Because something, I mean, we've seen, like, if you're going to be the bell cow in this offense is explosive, right? Like, offensive line is banged up, but we know Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball. Somebody's going to get those touchdowns. So I think there's a lot of upside, but, you know, you're not blowing. It's not Woody Marks level fab.
No, I think Vidal is probably the better pass catcher, and I'm just leaning towards that with a negative game script, probably likely. Just looking at how they have looked the last 2 weeks without these offensive tackles, not getting a lot of space for these guys, including Hampton this week before the injury. So I don't know. I'm not really excited about either one, to be honest. I would take Carter, Kendre Miller, a lot of the other guys on this list. I'd be just as happy about getting for cheaper while somebody else throws 30 to 40% at Haskins or Vidal.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be Vidal for me. Just like you said, it's the pass catching. I think too, like, QJ's about done for me for a little bit with these tackles being out. I don't think they're going to be able to have the time to throw the ball deep. They're not going to let these big routes being able to develop and all that fun stuff. So I think it's going to be a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be a lot of Ladd. It's going to be a lot of Keenan. And it's going to be a lot of the running backs.
Someone's been reading my articles. It's very nice. This is all very good stuff right there, right?
Who else do we have here? I mean, I guess outside of that, it's all backup running backs. It's your DJ Giddens for Indianapolis. It's Ollie Gordon for Miami. It's Ray Davis for Buffalo. Algier for the Falcons. Gainwell for the Steelers. Spears for Titans. And then Ray Davis for... I got Davis twice, so go get
everyone
Ray Davis.
On that list. All good value. Spears is kind of the one who I lean towards coming back. He already had a role, and we know that he's a better pass catcher than Pollard. So as he gets healthy, I think he's the actual one who could get 50% of the carries. Where DJ Giddens, Ollie Gordon, these guys are like handcuffs who might get thrust into a role, but he's the only one who I could see in the next 2 to 3 weeks actually going into like a 50-50 split.
Yeah, I don't want to piece that offense, though. It's gross.
No, but pass catching back on a team that is always losing is there's value to that.
Wide receivers. Yeah, let's talk some wide receivers. You want to take the first one?
Yeah, sure.
He's not a Patriot. I was thinking he was a Patriot, but he's not anymore.
It's a classic Mac Jones to Kendrick Bourne connection. You can't stop it. You couldn't before. You can't now. Now it's... Bourne looked really good, actually extremely impressive for stepping onto the field just a few weeks ago, not really knowing that system. But he's a guy, if there's injuries, he's going to see the targets. Mac has played with him before, outside of like Kendrick, DeMarcus Robinson and kind of some of those guys. So he is the guy who's probably going to lead in targets if you're desperate for a flex.
What's interesting is Tonjes and Bourne were tied for the lead in targets. But DeMarcus Robinson ran the most routes. So it's one of those, like, it could get sticky. Like, when Purdy comes back, you might see a little bit. You know, I don't know if he'll favor it. Mac Jones does seem to be a guy that can really hone in on a guy and really favor one. So, can we just get all the starters back so we don't have to make all these speculations and all these, like, starting questions? It's madness.
That's my one thing, is I just want to, before I really, like, spend any fab on the wide receiver room for the 49ers, is I need to get more information. When's Pearsall coming back? When's Jennings coming back? And I think we know that Kittle should be coming back. Ayuk as well.
Like, these are literally like wide receivers 5 and 6 for the team. So we don't really know.
Lynch came out, said something recently, like Ayuk does not have a return table right now, or like a timetable for his return.
That's still 3 other pass catchers. I don't think Kittle's coming back this week. And then I think they have the bye, but it's like, I'm not going to, you know, just jump my fab here.
These are short term guys, and Bourne, the last name on this list, could outscore Bourne this week. So I agree with you entirely.
Romeo Dobbs. Oh, go for it.
Oh, Dobbs, I like a lot. But if we're just talking about fill-ins for the injuries, someone I'd look at more is Ryan Flowerney from the Cowboys. I know you're making that face, but I'm just kind of saying, if we're just specifically looking at someone filling in for an injury, we know CD Lamb's going to miss 2-3 more weeks minimum. He's not on IR, but it was kind of as a 3-4 week injury. We saw George Pickens. Maybe he did get shadowed by Sauce Gardner, but still, I just think that there's a better opportunity if we're looking for this kind of backup in an injury situation than anyone on the 49ers.
I don't hate that because they are a better team, so points are going to be hot and heavy there. It's just like gross. Outside of, you know, Javonte George and Ferguson,
and it could switch back to Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah, he was out for this past game.
But yes, I thought he was playing, but I think he just did nothing. I know the coaching staff was like, he needs to step up this week, and he clearly did not.
One target, and that's it.
Okay, yeah. One of their pass catchers was out. I gotta see which.
Good throw in there. Dubs, if he's there, Romeo Dubs, you're 100%. He's actually got a real role more than a lot of these other guys and will for the rest of the season.
Check 2 for Golden. I really don't know if you're going to get anything consistent or anything good or anything you want out of the Packers pass catchers or the wide receivers anyway, but Golden might have hit waiver wires going into the bye week. He's been really disappointing, so check that. I think if you're a winning team, I'm going to pick up Golden.
Especially while Reed is out.
Yeah.
He could certainly come out of this bye pretty strong. Mario, you had Troy Franklin written up. I'd love to hear your...
I did. So Troy Franklin. So I will say, kind of looking at some of these wide receiver options, there is, you know, right now we're just kind of looking for the diamonds in the rough, like, because a lot of these guys that we were talking about, like the Ryan Flournoy, is anyone on the 49ers. It's just, hey, someone on that team is injured. Here's a miniature fill-in. Troy Franklin, we're kind of asking the question, can Bo Nix support two viable fantasy wide receivers? I'm not sure, but I'll say Troy Franklin is kind of trending in the right direction, right? Like he leads his team in red zone targets with 6, which is double Surtain's 3. His 32 targets are second behind Cortland Sutton's 37. So to me, he's just right there, and he's just a breakout game away from really being a viable fantasy wide receiver. And he also has that upside. We're kind of talking about these other guys are flourishing because somebody got hurt. We never root for injuries, but that's exactly what could happen here in Denver.
Yeah, this week was funny. I texted my friend. I was like, Bo Nix has never performed against a good defense. And I think it was like right after that, they kind of flipped the switch a little bit. it was like truly right out. It was like mid third quarter. I was like, I just am not a believer when it comes down to it.
Not a believer.
Yeah, not a believer. They can tear apart Cincy's defense with an ADOT of 3.3 and throw it 50 times for no reason at all when they could just use J.K. Dobbins and run it down their throat. But Sean Payton has to be like making all these little trick plays for absolutely no reason at all. But Franklin has stepped up. We all thought it was going to be Mims coming into the year. Mims seems to be the wide receiver 3 more often than not on the team. They're designing plays to Franklin. So I don't hate it. A lot of these guys, I think it is going to be kind of hit or miss week to week for sure. And it's going to be hard to predict, but he's on the field. He's getting the targets. So the stats you said are, you know, those could be sticky moving forward.
My hardest part with that is I'm going to kind of piggyback two guys together while also giving Drake May a little like boost up here. He's 8 of 10 on throws 10 yards or deeper down the field. Like, he's doing great this year. Bryce Young is last in the league, completing 34% of his throws down the field, while Bo Nix is 37%. So he's just doing, like, he's down there at the very bottom. That's why I love Trey Franklin as far as his usage out of this group of guys. But his quarterback's not performing. So same reason why I think Coker is on our list as far as a ad coming back from injury. But he also has one of those quarterbacks that's just horrendous throwing the ball down the field deep this year. So I don't know if I really want to invest.
Yeah. I mean, all these names are kind of whatever. I think we can like fire through a few of them here. But Darnell Mooney is actually the wide receiver 2 on his team and has a role and has performed pretty much any time he's been given the opportunity. He's somebody we've talked about for the last few years. Brian, you were talking about Isaiah Bond last week, and he's kind of rising up in the ranks there a little bit in Cleveland.
What does that truly mean?
I don't know.
Who really knows?
It's not.
Dylan Gabriel loves tight ends is what I'm learning, because that's just where majority of the targets was going to Njoku and Fannin. I feel like we have to hit the reset button every time the Browns switch the quarterback. And from there, yeah. then I need 2 to 3 weeks that's to gauge
and that's the amount of time it takes before they switch it to the next one.
Which means I just might be out. Fannin might have some streamable matchups for him. We love Quinshon Judkins, but outside of that, like, no Judy. No,
I'd probably throw in Luther Burden and just pray for Hail Mary and just go for the moon there. Who's also on the list, but anyone else you guys want to highlight as wide receivers?
Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson had the target share. Darius Slayton had the depth of target. So, like, it might just be Theo Johnson. I'm out as far as the pass catchers for Jackson Dart. But again, he's got a rough 3 games ahead of him. So we might not be considering that.
Yeah, I think you kind of covered here with these pass catchers. Like we kind of talked about with the Troy Franklin situation. It's like it's a thin waiver wire at this point, so we're just trying to see who has the potential to rise up. And I think we did a good job covering those guys. Mooney was someone I liked a lot pre-draft and then, you know, kind of got shaky mid-season. But I think now could be his time to flourish.
Quarterbacks, if you're in a pickle, who would be streaming? Sam Darnold probably, like, it seems like top of the list as far as, like, you know, not his own quarterbacks.
Yeah, somehow taking two slot receivers and just performing like crazy. And Torrey Horton, like, I believe he's a fourth or fifth round rookie.
Yeah.
Kind of fell in the draft there a little bit, but he's looking pretty good as well. So, I mean, Darnold has got to be the top of this list. I'm out on Dart. We just talked about we said this last week, like, he's got the Saints, and then he's got, I think it's Eagles twice and Denver once, something like that. But it is not good. He doesn't have Malik Neighbors. He didn't really perform that well against the Saints. I'm not taking my chances for any of the next 3 weeks. Mac Jones, you know, again, I don't love the pass catchers around him, but they're 3-0 with him at the helm. And, you know, maybe he coughs up a lung in the middle of the game, but he seems to finish and
he doesn't
continue
need it.
Performing. Yeah, he doesn't need those.
That's with Mac Jones. Granted, a lot of his talented guys are injured, but the problem is, like, the way the system's set up is he just has to do so little, right? I don't want to shade to Jared Goff, but it's like, if you just get the ball to these very talented pass catchers, they'll do all the work. And I think that's what has Mac Jones in his favor.
And if we're being honest here, Matt Stafford is clearly the best one out of the bunch.
Oh yeah.
Boy gets Baltimore this week. Whoever plays Baltimore is going to be the best player on the slate because Baltimore is bad. Very, very bad.
Absolutely.
They're hurt. They're really hurt.
They're hurt. They're missing an entire Pro Bowl's roster worth of players. But Matt Stafford was someone I was going to bring up because right now it looks like he's rostered in just about 56% of leagues, so a little higher than that half threshold, but still way too low. He's quarterback 6 this week, 2 the week before. He's trending upwards. He started off really slow 2019-14, but I think that was more so, like, remember, his back didn't operate. Going into this,
he gave birth before the season started. Or what was it? Oh, an epidural. Sorry, that's
something
what it was.
Like that.
That's I thought it was a C-section, something.
So he's definitely hitting his stride. We're seeing Puka is putting up unreal numbers, and this is the guy funneling him the ball. So I think Matt Stafford is, like, a very sneaky. Granted, he's probably rostered in 12 team leagues, but maybe in a 10, you could find him out there.
Tight ends. I mean, Darren Waller. If you didn't bid on him last week, you're going to have to this week because I'm sure everybody in the league that has him available, they're going after him. So Darren Waller, I think, is going to be a solid linchpin in this offense.
Yep. Tyreek Hill is out, so he's getting end zone targets more importantly.
Just like Theo Johnson. Like Theo Johnson. Couple of end zone targets, pulled in 2 touchdowns. He is seeing I believe he's averaging 24% target share over the last 2 weeks since Malik Neighbor has gone out. So I think he needs to be looked at. But he's playing the Eagles, so.
That's a tough one. Yeah, he plays the Eagles twice and then Broncos in between. Someone who I think is a really short-term potential, but Jake Tongs of the 49ers.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Kittle's going to be coming back real soon. But in these last 2 weeks, 13.3 points, 13.6 points. It's like this offense is designed to have a tight end in use, and I guess it doesn't matter. I guess Kittle is just a system tight end. So Tongs has looked great. He had 11 targets this past week. Granted, everybody else around him is injured or hurt. So I like him as, again, a very short term because Kittle should be back sooner than later.
Yeah. Mason Taylor, I think, needs to be brought up to the rookie last 3 weeks, 12 targets, 7 targets, 6 targets this past week, 9 catches, 67 yards. Look, this is the only team in the NFL that's averaging a longer depth of play in the run game than the pass game, which is kind of impressive to be able to do that and pull that off. But as far as targets.
Not too surprising, though, coming into the season.
Yeah, that's true. If you said Justin Fields, I think it makes a bit more sense. But as far as pass catchers, it's Breece Hall, it's Garrett Wilson. There's nothing else. So he's going to be heavily involved in this offense.
I have a name. Tell me if this is crazy or not. But ooh, I love Taysom it. Hill, it just got his first healthy game this past week. He did really nothing with it. He rushed the ball 6 times for -1 yards and completed a pass for 19 yards.
To Juwan Johnson, fellow tight end. Funny enough.
Fellow tight end. There we go.
Isn't it amazing how Sean Payton left that team just in absolute shambles and like signed Taysom Hill to this ridiculous contract that they still can't get out of? Like, how long has he not been with the Saints that they still can't get out of this contract? And multiple other ones.
Kamara's cap hit for like this year and next year? It's ridiculous. Like when we were talking about like moving him and stuff, I was like, how are you going to be able to move? It's crazy, his cap numbers. So you're
Sean Payton got a 4th round pick for Devon Valey, a 27-year-old second-year player that he sent to him a few months ago.
He got a 4th and a 7th.
It's ridiculous what he is doing to the Saints. And he's not even on the team. On the team. Goodness. Taysom Hill, as hard as it is, folks, if he's playing football, he has to be looked at. He's tight end position's rough.
If you like Jameson Williams, you'll love Taysom Hill. I guess that's just the mentality of it.
It's pretty good.
Toss out a defense. Who you guys got for defenses?
So defenses, I got 3. I don't want to take them all, though, so I'll start with just one. I'm going to start with my longest-term option, and that's going to be the Patriots. Coming off a great win in Buffalo against the last undefeated team. They have an interception in 4 of their last 5 weeks. They're averaging just over 2 sacks a game. And their next 3 games, they're going to New Orleans to face the Saints we just talked about. You're not afraid of that matchup. Then they go to Tennessee to face the Titans. You love that matchup. Then they host the Browns. So that's a very nice 3-week slate. Set and forget. They're rostered in just about 26% of leagues. So we should be able to pick them up almost everywhere.
Yeah, we should check out their Super Bowl odds.
All right.
Throw out the Packers, obviously.
Yeah.
Packers are very good defense. People might have dropped them going into the bye week and coming off of that game against Dallas, which they really were pretty big letdown there. But Bengals, Cardinals, and Steelers, and then Panthers. So, you know, not necessarily a top tier schedule, but Bengals, we've seen kind of what they've been able to do the last few weeks. Kyler Murray, we already talked about. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, doing okay, but he's still like a statue if and when it comes down to it. So Packers are a good defense. They're going to be usable for the rest of the season and not necessarily stuck in a streaming role.
And of course, the homer's got to go with the homer. Give me the Colts. I mean, it's not exactly the, like, you're not frothing at the mouth here at the schedule. It's Arizona, it's the Chargers, it's Tennessee, it's Pittsburgh over the next 4 weeks. But Arizona likes to make mistakes. They like to make mental errors. Yeah. The Chargers, like we've talked about, they're down multiple linemen. They're hurting as far as the running game goes now, too. And then you've got Cam Ward there at Tennessee. But just as far as coming up this week, they have Arizona. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. They're forcing turnovers. They're making stuff happen. And they score a lot of points, which puts pressure on the offense, the other offense, to score points as well, which when you've got a quarterback that makes dumb boneheaded mistakes like Kyler, it kind of puts him in that situation. So, I mean, a touchdown could happen for the Colts at any point.
I love that pick. I got one more stinky one. This one's for 14, 16-plus leagues. They're rostered in 2% of leagues, the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, they've scored negative points in 2 out of the 5 weeks, so there's a good reason why they're 2% rostered, but they're facing the Titans this week. When we talk about it, they are like the number one offense to target, in my opinion. So if you're absolutely desperate, if you're in, like I said, a really deep league, I like the Raiders. Is this 1 week, you know, they're not like the Pats where you're set and forgetting. You start the Raiders, you drop the Raiders.
Starting Cam Ward is what I just heard, folks. There it is. No, I'm kidding. Oh, God. All right, before we get out of here,
for social.
Let's do a little lightning round here and some buys and sells. Let's talk about some players that we are in on over at least the next few weeks, or if not the rest of the season, and then a few players we're out on. Nick, take it away. Give me a few names of players you're liking.
Yeah, you want me to just rapid fire this? Some of this we've talked about already, so we'll just kind of tag on it. But Travion Henderson hasn't really held the role, has been more in the RB3. But people might be down on him. People might not realize that Antonio Gibson just got knocked out for the rest of the year. he is going to have a role moving forward. We kind of thought they might ease him in, so it's not too crazy, but offense is moving forward. They're progressing a little bit. This is a high second round pick. He's got all the talent in the world, and he is the future of this backfield. So he's somebody who is going to start seeing more of a role and might be able to buy low. You want to take one, or am I just diving through these?
Mar, you got anything to add to the running backs?
I will put out RJ Harvey. He's someone I love, J.K. Dobbins, but I am just a little fearful. He has the injury history, so that's something that worries me. Plus, I'm just kind of wait. We talked about it so much in the offseason, in the preseason, but Sean Payton picked this guy. We kind of expect him to kind of take over the reins at some point. We've seen him get a little bit of more snaps here and there, but right now it does seem like Dobbins has a stranglehold on the starting position, but you just give an inch to Harvey, and I really think he can take off. So he's someone I like to target.
Yeah, Sean Payton, again, Cincinnati comes to town. He tries to make everything look cute for no reason. But when the game is on the line, J.K. Dobbins is the dude. So for the time being, you kind of have to operate with that. But Harvey, he's seeing some receiving work. He is getting a little bit more involved. We've talked about him for a few weeks now. Woody Marks, again, this was a game script thing. He was taken out in the second half. They're going into their bye week. People might be a little down between the bye week and their performance. Chubb scored the touchdown. They're not going to be winning by 30 points again this season. They're going to be more in favorable game script for him as the receiving back. We know their offensive line is terrible. He is going to see more and more work. So I'm still entirely in on him. Few other guys. We talked about Stephon Diggs, 10 receptions, 146 yards yesterday. Saints and Titans are the next two games. He's going to be the number one target there. If you can get him as your wide receiver three for decently cheap or tier down from some other guys who are a little, you know, we talked about Jameson Williams. If you got somebody who still believes and you can kind of tier down to Diggs and maybe get something small on top of it, I like that move. Brian, you look like you're going to say something.
I did want to piggyback on the Woody Marks thing. Like, as much as I do like Woody, we've kind of touched on, he's not quite the player that'll ever actually fully take over the backfield. And as far as the game script conversation goes, Texans are actually one of four teams that have not taken an offensive snap down double-digit points yet. Them, the Colts, the Packers, and the Jaguars before Monday Night Football. So they haven't really been in the worst of game scripts, which I wouldn't have thought, though. This offense has looked so terrible, but I guess the defense has kind of helped kept them in it. Not really trying to sink Woody there on the argument there, but just throwing that out there. I wish we could get that, but we might have a little bit more Nick Chubb thorn on the side. So I love the acquisition of Woody, but watch the price. Make sure you're mindful of what that price is.
Yeah, don't go crazy. These are buy lows, so
yeah,
buy them low. Don't buy them.
Get them off waiver wire. Shoot, like you said, you might get them off waiver wire.
And even last week when everyone was like, oh, this backfield's taken over, Chubb still had like 14 touches. It wasn't like he was not involved in the game at all. It was like 21 to 14 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 10-snap difference between the two of them last week. It was only three snaps this week.
And people were highly overreacting because of the two touchdowns that Woody had. But, anyway.
You've got Jordan Addison on this list. I love it. I kind of talked about the splits between him and Hawkinson. Just as far as the targets go, after Addison got out of his suspension first quarter there, target share was 26% Justin Jefferson, 23% Jordan Addison, and then only 15% TJ Hawkinson. So Jordan Addison might be a sneaky buy low.
Very quiet, good first two performances from him in his return.
Hawkinson's only hit 20% target share in just two games of the last 12 with Addison. So it is Jefferson and Addison show out there.
Lad McConkey.
You.
Brian pretty much covered my whole thing before, but Omarion's been getting the good target share as well. And then he's gone. Najee's gone. Two all-pro offensive tackles are gone. I think this leans toward shorter passes. He hasn't been not really involved. He's averaging seven targets a game. So he still only had, I think, 40 yards and a touchdown this week. But I do think this kind of lends towards them having shorter, not being able to develop plays downfield where Quentin Johnson and Keenan Allen have kind of actually been really performing well this year.
This decreases his Keenan Allen problem that he has.
Yeah.
Because that's been Ladd's biggest issue, is he's just had a Keenan. I mean, QJ too, but it's been Keenan stealing his work.
Yeah, Keenan's been the number one there.
CD and Rashee Rice.
I want to hear. Yeah, I want to hear this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are guys we threw on the list last week. If you're a contender, if you're 4-1 at the top of your league and somebody who is at the bottom is like willing to you can throw a little package of 2 or 3 for 1 together and patchwork their team and just throw CD onto your bench, then I think that's a good move. I think he's only going to be out for 1 to 2 more weeks. But
would you trade Jamar Chase for Rashee Rice? I would. I wouldn't would? A heartbeat. Okay. I wouldn't yeah. a heartbeat.
Really?
Especially after this big game. Especially after this big game.
Yeah, wow. I mean, Rashee's got what?
One game left.
Just one more game? Yeah.
He's got one game left.
Not too crazy. I got to look at the bye weeks and stuff, but
even with Xavier Worthy there?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Rashee's going to be a beast. And then Bowers and McBride at tight end. These guys are stars, studs, and they're not performing necessarily like it. People spent high draft capital on them. They might be, if you can take your, you know, somebody in your league is just all pumped up. You got a Dallas fan who's pumped on Jake Ferguson, and you can somehow turn it into McBride. Like, I'm going to do that in a heartbeat. You know, that's a little bit of a stretch, but I have no problem betting on the talent there.
The sell you have over here, I do have an issue with. We're selling Ferguson?
Ferguson? I think it's, and that's kind of what I'm saying. With CD, when CD comes back, he's not going to be averaging 9 receptions a game, I don't think. I think it is going to be more CD and Pickens. Ferguson is not some elite athlete who's on the field there. He's seeing like 13 targets that are 3 yards downfield. He's always been a red zone monster. He has led the league in red zone targets. I think it was 2 years ago, and last year took a little bit of a step back. But like I'm saying, if you can turn Ferguson, who's going to be the third target on this offense in the next 2 weeks, to McBride or Bowers, because somebody is, you know, up in arms that they have their second round capital hasn't turned into it, I'm happily going to make that move, and I would do it 1 for 1. I wouldn't need anything in return, but I see you disagree.
He had 5 receptions, 9 receptions, 13 receptions with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know.
I don't think, but CeeDee only played like one play of that third game, that 13 reception game. He was not.
That's not the point. They played together in that third. I know. So I'm cherry picking that stat yeah, there. But still, 6 catches. And 12 targets in those first 2 games with CeeDee. I guess it's where it is. Ferguson's hard for me to get rid of because he is the last in a startable tier for me. If you picked up Darren Waller, I love it. If you have a replace, I guess it's just, I'm willing to start him week in and week out, even with Lamb back, because of how bad it is out there with tight end. So if you have another replacement, if you happen to have 2 guys, yeah, go for it. Sell them. But
yeah,
I hate having to play the streets. This, like the tight end streaming article that you can go find over there on QBList.com that I write every week, folks, it is hard. Because as you get through the week, if you haven't picked up these guys, there are just not a lot of streaming options out there. It is ugly.
And I didn't think I would need to caveat this, but like, don't do it if you don't have another guy that you're just willing to throw in there. If you're sitting there and who are we saying on the waiver line, you know, if you're like, oh, well, I can pick up Brenton Strange. Like, I'm not saying do that and just get rid of him for nothing at all. But
all right,
cool, I'm saying if I can take my 15th round pick or tight end that I picked up off the waiver wire because everyone had low anticipation and he's performing super well because the wide receiver 1 from 2 years ago isn't on the field, and I can turn that into somebody else's second round pick, I'm willing to bet on the talent in that situation and have the foresight that I think CeeDee is going to demand a target share isn't there right now. That is only 2 weeks away. And if you try to make this move in 2 weeks, when CeeDee comes back, that window is going to be closed or a lot tighter.
Yeah, I get that. Before we get out of here, Mario, do you have a buyer or sell for us you want to throw out?
I wanted to ask about where does Derrick Henry land on the buy sell? Because I got to be honest, I might be trying to buy Derrick Henry while his price is the absolute lowest, obviously with no Lamar Jackson. I think that we've always known Tractor Cito to be a November, December kind of player, and that's when championships are won. So part of me is kind of taking a peek at Derrick Henry, and if I'm trying to make an offer for him.
I put Henry on the buy list last week for the same thing, and I took a little heat from it from Brian. I'm curious where we're at now.
Pass. Folks, That's if you've been listening. No, I'm just kidding.
I like it because Lamar is going to come back and this offense is still going to hum. So if you're, you know, if you're in the bottom of the league right now it's not a move you can really be looking to make. But if you got some, go.
I was going to say, you know what's crazy is the sports books still have the Ravens as the favorite to win the division, despite what Pittsburgh's got a 3-game lead on.
Are they
right
wrong?
Now.
I mean, Jake Browning's not going to win the division. Is Dalen Gabriel going to win the division? So it's just 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I get it. But like, it's not looking pretty because Lamar's probably going to miss this. They're playing the Rams. Even if Lamar's out there, I don't know if it's going to make a difference.
I mean, if he's out there, it makes a difference. Let's settle down.
I guess maybe not. Let me fix our word that. I think the outcome of the game may not have a difference, whether or not the game is, rough stuff. Folks, we thank you enough so much for hanging out with us again for this week 5 recap, the week 6 waiver wire. If you have any more questions, reach out to Mario there on QBList.com where he does the waiver wire article every single week. He can hit you up with that. We've got the start sit articles. We've got the what we saw on QBList.com. Nick, where can the people find you if they're looking for you?
We're going to be here every week doing a couple sit starts coming up soon too, and then weekly articles with the fantasy footballers.
That's right. This will be the last week with Mario for a little bit. He's going to be busy tying the knot. Someone can't figure out his priorities, but he will be back a couple weeks after that.
He's going to become a man.
Exactly. So this is going to be my last one of these for 2 weeks, probably a little mini hiatus. But my article is out, but it'll be a little 2-week break from that. But you'll still catch me at the sit start later this week. But then, yes, a little 2-week break to get married. Pretty cool. Whoop. Just give me a shout out on Twitter if you actually listen to this and pay attention to my Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. And that's it. So thanks, folks.
Yeah, and congrats to you, Mario. That is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Super excited for you. If you're looking for me, it's @too_much_Brian on Twitter, @too_much_Brian everywhere else. Check out my pod if you're looking for more of me. It's @too_much_fantasy_football. Otherwise, check out the website. All of the great articles we've got there, all the awesome things we're doing. We'll see you Thursday